Earners, what's up? You ever wonder what's around the next corner? What happens if you push just a little further? With Nissan SUVs, you're equipped to take your adventure to unimagined levels. Imagine the possibilities with a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada. Go ahead, find your next big adventure. And while you're out there exploring the unknown, the class-exclusive Google built-in becomes your ultimate co-pilot. No need to fumble with your phone. With Google Assistant, Google Maps, and the Google Play Store integrated into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue, your journey becomes seamless. Ask for directions, stream your adventure playlist, or send messages hands-free, all while keeping your focus on the adventure ahead. This just isn't any drive. It's a journey powered by innovation, where the road less traveled isn't just seen, it's experienced. The 2024 Nissan line aren't just SUVs. They're your gateway to adventure, equipped with the tools you need to explore every corner of the world around you. Nissan, dare to do what others don't. Visit your local Nissan dealer or NissanUSA.com to find out more and take the first step into your next adventure today.
You're doing good with the recruiting business. How long is that your main focus before you start another business?
So I started the second business because I wanted something tangible, something that if I'm not working, like right now, I'm not working, working per se, it can still make money for me. And I was in a coma in 2008. And during the transition from, I was in California at the time, during the transition from California to Florida, I wanted to be home with my family.
And why were you in a coma?
You have to read the book for that. Okay. That's one of the tell-all in the book.
So yes. Yeah, got it.
So when I was transitioning, I was wheelchair bound. My larynx was clipped, so you could not hear me speak. Mm. And the flight attendant escorted me off the aircraft and placed me in a corner. And I waited there, and I was there for 3 hours trying to signal someone because they can hear me talk. And I cried. And I saw people just kept walking by me, and I tried and tried, and you cannot hear me. And finally, a young girl came over, and she helped me. And when that happened, I realized that the disabled was not cared for. They were invisible to the world. And after I recovered from the coma, I decided to start a medical equipment business because I never want anyone else to feel the way that I did.
So what medical equipment, what does that actually entail?
Wheelchairs, hospital beds, respiratory, CPAP, oxygen, diapers.
So you're buying these things and selling them?
Yes. So I buy them from the manufacturers.
So you buy them from like China?
No, I buy them from U.S.-based manufacturers.
All right, a U.S.-based manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And you're selling them to hospitals?
Hospitals, I also sell them to patients. So let's say, for example, mom is in the hospital and she cannot ambulate. She cannot walk. So they will send us over a prescription for a wheelchair and a walker. And we'll qualify them through their insurance, through Medicare or whatever insurance they have. We'll build the insurance. Now they qualify. They haven't received one in 5 years, so they qualify. And then we deliver it to the patient's home. We set it up. We make sure that the wheelchair gets through the doorways. We make sure that there aren't any obstructions so that they won't fall. And we service the patient for a year thereafter.
So how cash intensive is that? Because when I'm thinking, if I'm trying to start this, how much money would I need to start like a home health care medical equipment?
Well, that's not
business.
Really home health care. That's medical equipment
business.
So you have to have 700. Well, when I started, the number may have changed now. Yeah. So I haven't ventured back in that area yet recently. When I just started, you have to have 700,000 liquid in order to start the medical equipment.
So the medical equipment, are you ever physically holding or are you just shipping it from the warehouse to the client?
So you have a physical. So I personally have a physical hold-in. So all my deliveries are done by drivers that's within my office that I hired, and they're employees of Bailey's.
And you have a physical warehouse?
Yes. So every location. So right now I have 16 locations, and every location has at least one or two warehouses that stack with items that patients would need. So if the prescription comes in today, and they need walker, wheelchair, they will qualify the patient, send it out for tomorrow delivery.
But you're not making any of this stuff?
No, I'm not making
it. So, all right, that's interesting. I would have thought that the people that make it are the people that sell it. So if it's like X, Y, and Z wheelchair, right? Like, these are the manufacturers of it, and they're selling it. Like, BMW sells cars that they make. Why are they not doing that? And why would a hospital just not buy directly from the people that's making it, as opposed to, you're essentially like a middleman in the situation, right?
Right.
Why would there be a need for a middleman?
So because then the part of qualifying the patient and servicing them for, because disabled people, you have to service them. You have to make sure that they're set up properly, make sure that they're not going to fall, make sure they're not returning to the hospitals. So the manufacturers, they would have to create a whole nother division in order to service the patients. And so that's why the middleman is necessary. Most manufacturers do not sell directly to a hospital, some of which do sell to hospitals, however.
Okay.
So, but not to end stage patients.
So you like customize the situation.
Yes.
To make sure they're getting the right fit. They just make a million of them. Mm-hmm. But you have to like make sure that this one fits this person. And
right.
They might need to tweak a little bit here and there.
Yes.
Type situation.
Exactly that. So like a wheelchair. So, you know, wheelchair people are different sizes. So my staff have to qualify the patient to make sure that, okay, they might need a K1. A K1 is a standard wheelchair. And they might be 200 pounds, 5'8", but they might be bottom heavy. So instead of them having a 20 inch, they might have an 8 or 18 inch, they may have a 20 inch. So that's what is necessary for someone like myself in the middle.
So, I mean, because technology changes, so you have to keep up with the technology, especially with wheelchairs. Like 10 years ago, they don't look the same. They're not operating the same. How do y'all handle compliance and regulatory issues when it comes to the equipment?
So there are the medical equipment industry is actually more regulated than even pharmacy.
Right.
You would think that it would be the other way around.
I read that.
But you have to be licensed in each state. Then you have accreditation. Then you have Medicare. Then you have all the other insurance plans. And then you have oxygen is separated from the medical equipment. And you have oxygen license. So there, in each location, there are at least 6. Sometimes 7 licenses that you have to have.
Just to sell the equipment.
Just to sell medical equipment.
Which state did you start in Florida?
Florida, yeah.
So which states are less regulatory, right? So I'm assuming Florida probably wouldn't have been the easy state to do it. And not easy, but in the sense of like not having to deal with as much as you would in other states. What states that come to mind are like, all right, this is a good state to create this business in?
So it's really governed by Medicare.
Okay.
Which is national.
Right.
And you have to follow Medicare guidelines in all states. And in order to bill Medicare, which is all equipment patients, mm-hmm. Disabled patients, you have to follow the guidelines. So it's really now easier in any state. Florida, I think, is a little bit harder. They take longer for the license. They cost more for the license. And it's because the reason why accreditation came into play is because what I've been told is Florida and South Florida was one of the places that they had the most Medicare fraud. There were places, people that were just picking up buses of people, pay them $100 and just bill the insurances from what I heard. Now, that may not be factual, but that's what I was told.
So so what's the profit margins?
The profit margins are good. They're good. It depends on what the items are. Some of them sucks. Some of them are not that great, but most of the times you'll get a patient who, let's say that they're bed bound. They need a hospital bed. They need a lift. They need a commode. They need a walker. They need a wheelchair. And so sometimes they need oxygen. So with a patient like that, which is a lot of our patients, you'll find that there's a really good profit margin, because even if you don't make a lot on the hospital bed, you might make a decent amount in the wheelchair, and it'll kind of offsets each other.
So you're selling multiple things.
Yes.
So, and you said Medicare. So when you're selling this stuff, you're like a doctor, like you're billing insurance for it?
Yes.
People aren't paying out of pocket.
Well, sometimes.
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 Well, a lot of it's coming from insurance.
From insurance, yeah. Yeah.
How does that process work?
So when we qualify, for wheelchair or any medical equipment, if you have Medicare as a primary insurance, you cannot get one. You could only have one per 5 years. So my staff are running through the system. Okay, this patient received one last year from this practice, and maybe they got billed for 2 months. You can take over the billing for that patient and give them another one because they returned it. Or if it's a patient who actually do qualify, you will just bill for the 13 months. So it's a 13-month rental for most equipment. If the reason why it's profitable is because if a patient passed away or goes in the hospital or no longer need it, you pick it up because they're rentals, then you re-rent the same item to someone else.
Did the I guess the relationships that you build when you were doing pharmaceuticals play a key role in obviously creating the for the medical help equipment. Because I'm thinking to myself, how would I get the patients? I'd have to have a relationship with some of these hospitals. So what role did that play?
Not much. The relationship between my medical recruiting, because of my strong relationship with the practices, that had somewhat of a role in it. But my first hire was a salesperson, which should be every business first hire should be a salesperson. I was out selling and I was coming back, processing the order, delivering the items. And I walked into a facility and I said to the director, I said, I want a pretty white boy. And she said, I don't know anyone. What up? You know, hold on. The director's son, he just graduated. He's selling grass. Maybe you can talk to him. And my head, I said, director's son, the director of rehab. That's over three different rehab centers.
Yeah, need him.
That's a lot of equipment that's coming my way. I'm like, I'll interview him. And in my head, I said, even if he's semi-decent, I'm hiring him because I'm getting those sales.
Put him to work.
And I did. I hired him. And he, my first employee, my still my right hand. Today.
Interesting. You got an eye for it. So what, because the equipment that takes to make these, have you ever run into issues with supply chain?
I did not. Most people did during COVID.
Right.
I did not have supply chain issues because God just happened to give me this amazing brain. As soon as COVID hit, I have a warehouse on my ranch and it's about 7,000 square feet. I ordered everything that I could, stocked it from to roof. And because of that, I didn't have supply chain issues because I had all the equipment and supplies that I needed.
More dope.
So you said that you have 15 locations?
I have 15 locations, yeah.
15 warehouses.
I have probably 25, 26 warehouses.
So what's the location then? What's the location?
What
is it? What is the location? Like, what would be a location? Because I'm thinking a location is the warehouse.
Oh, no. The location have physical office that has a display floor and it has the staff that stays in that. And the warehouses are where we just store the supplies.
The location, because people, it's not like a walk-in thing, right?
It is a walk-in? You can, yeah.
You can walk in?
You can. Most people can't walk in, so we deliver, but yes, you can walk in.
So at a location, you have people calling people, and you have, what's at a location?
So at the location, so when you walk in, first you're going to see pharmacy because most of my locations have pharmacy. You'll see a display of medical equipment on the floor with a hospital bed, Hoyer lifts, commodes, wheelchairs. Then you'll see staff that are there processing the orders, answering phones, and scrubs because scrubs is also another part of my brand, of my line. So pretty much that's, and then you have sometimes my warehouse is on site. Sometimes they're off site. So that's what a location usually looks like.
It's crazy that you're saying this because I'm just thinking I drive past a location, not yours, in my down the street from my house every day. And I'm not going in because it's not, but I'm like, oh, wait, that does exist. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I want to know how competitive this is because you're doing it, but I'm sure there's other people that are trying to compete and get these clients and have more customers. How competitive is it in this space?
It's competitive. It's very competitive. However, I don't look at my competition. Why? Because I'm better than everybody else in the industry. The reason why I'm better, the reason why we're better is because we service. See, in the medical industry, service is usually not very great. And because I had personal experience of not being cared for, I require that from my staff. They know that the one reason that they can get fired for without a question is if they're nasty or unkind to one of my patients. And because of that, I make sure that they have honeycombs on their lips. When you answer my phone, I don't care what mood you're in. You must have honeycombs on your lips. And they know that. And because I also treat them well. I treat them so well. So that, matter of fact, on my birthday, this past birthday.
Happy belated.
Thank you so much. I plugged into the chat, the company chat, and I said, okay, guys, it's my birthday today, and I have something for you. So I gave, for the last 2 years, I gave all of them, the entire company, $1 per hour raise. And so a lot of the employers are messaging me like, who gives someone something for their birthday? I do, because I believe that you should be kind and loving to every person who is taking care of you and every person who's around you. And I treat them extremely well. So every customer that engages with them, I get amazing reviews. And I got the opportunity to experience it organically for myself. the delivery drivers, when in their processes, the managers don't tell them they're coming to my house. So if I have medication being delivered, my mom get her medicine, they'll call and they have no idea they're talking to me. And it felt so good. He was so polite and so kind, and his voice, his tone was so loving. And he had not a single clue that he's talking to me. And I said, this is exactly why I do what I do for my staff.